You know, whenever we read a scripture story, we're reading about things that happened 2,000 years ago and halfway around the globe. And so one of the big challenges is to connect the dots from there and then to here and now. But it may be a little bit easier today because our story today actually tracks with what you're doing right now. It's a story about God's people gathered for worship, which is what we've done. And Jesus shows up, which he's already done this morning. So let's see what happens. We'll be reading in Luke 13. We'll begin reading at verse 10. Let's pray together before we read God's Word. Spirit, you're moving in our midst gently today. Work in our hearts now, gently as you would, to bring the truth ever more deeply, with ever greater healing and direction. And we pray in the name of the Savior. Amen. Luke 13, beginning at verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame. And the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this seems to be a pretty standard Sunday morning around St. Giles, at least a summer Sunday morning. And when we come and do the same sorts of things on a weekly pattern, most of you here this morning are here most Sunday mornings. And because we come regularly, we develop expectations, don't we? We've seen things happen in a particular way, and so we walk in the door with expectations about how this is going to work out. And so when you came in the door this morning, you were expecting to see some of your friends. And a lot of you already knew where you were going to sit, because that's where you always sit. You have that expectation, and it kind of wrinkles you when someone gets there before you get there. And you expect to see Larry and Linda passing out bulletins, or maybe Bill Lynch. I don't see Bill today, but Larry and Linda are here. I mean, these are familiar things to our eyes. We expect to see these things. We expect to see the choir. Uh-oh. That's disconcerting. Well, actually, they've gone on summer break, which, if you've been here long enough, you know to expect that too. It's part of our pattern every summer. We expect to be met by Jesus, and particularly so when we come to his table. And we expect to get out at a decent hour so that we can beat the Baptist to the restaurants, right? So these are the kind of expectations we have. And you don't really have a written list of these, but, you know, when I press you like this, you could write them down, couldn't you? Things you expect on Sunday morning, and it would actually be a pretty long list. Now, it worked the same way for the folks who gathered in the synagogue that Sabbath morning, only more so for them, because they had always lived in that village. Their whole lives, they've been in that village with the same people, going to the same synagogue every Sabbath. They knew everyone. They knew the leaders. They knew what they were going to sound like before they opened their mouths to read the scroll. They knew exactly how it all unfolded, just like it had every Sabbath day since they were kids, before they could remember. But that Sabbath day, something different happened. Jesus showed up. Now, at first it seemed ordinary enough because it was normal that when rabbis were traveling and the leaders of the synagogue heard there was a traveling rabbi in the area, they would invite him in to teach on a Sabbath day. And they had heard visiting rabbis before, so they came into the synagogue. They say, oh, this is someone different. But they knew pretty much what to expect. Except, this wasn't just any traveling rabbi. This was Jesus. And Jesus doesn't just go through Sabbath motions. Jesus changes lives. And as he taught, he saw a woman come into the back of the room. Apparently the service was already going on and he had already begun his teaching. And he saw her come in, slip into the back, and she was doubled over, like the picture there. Hunched over, bent. Regulars didn't even notice her because they'd seen her before. She was just part of what they expected on a Sabbath morning, that if she came, she'd be coming with her cane and her infirmity. And actually, that's what she expected too. She was used to this. But Jesus wasn't. Now hear me carefully. Jesus never gets used to anything in your life that diminishes life for you. He never gets used to that. He won't settle for it. He never says it is what it is. He never ignores these diminishing things in our lives. And he wasn't about to ignore the situation for this hunched over woman. In fact, he stopped what he was doing. He stopped his teaching. And he invited her forward. So picture that. If they'd had bulletins in that day, everybody would have whipped out their bulletins to see where this was in the service. And here she is coming forward in the middle of his teaching, and it's not the way things are supposed to work. No one expected that, including the woman. But when Jesus called, she came. And did you notice? He didn't even ask her if she wanted to be healed. He just spoke to her and laid his hands on her and healed her. And he said, woman, you're set free from your ailment. And for her, in her particular case, that included a release from some sort of demonic power that was involved in her being bent over at the waist. Now think about what this meant for her. This is a woman who for 18 years always was looking at the ground. She saw people's feet. If she looked up a bit, she could see them up to the waist. If she craned her neck and kind of twisted around, she could look at them from the perspective of a 5-year-old. She hadn't looked up at the sky in forever. She didn't see birds in the trees. She was looking at the ground. And that had become normal for her. Now, we don't know how this got launched. It's not hard to imagine how it played out for her at first. She thought she had a catch in her back. And she expected it would get better. And so she tried to rest her back. She tried to stretch her back. And even then, like now, you can be sure there were plenty of people around who had advice for her about what to do about a bad back. And so they told her how to stretch and how to loosen. And nothing worked. And they didn't have orthopedes. They didn't have chiropractors. And she did what she could and nothing changed. And weeks turned to months and turned to years and turned to 18 years. Walked around bent over. Now, somewhere along the way, before too long really, this became normal for her. It became what she expected of her life. She said whatever the ancient equivalent was of it is what it is. Well, that's what she said. I'm just going to have to deal with what is because I don't have any choice in the matter. She figured she'd always be bent over. But then Jesus showed up. And that was not what he expected. And so she walked home from the synagogue that day upright for the first time in 18 years. She looked people in the eye as she turned around to walk back to her place after Jesus touched her and released her. And she walked home that day looking up and seeing the trees and the birds. And you can be sure that when she sang praises, she noticed that her lungs were now full instead of crunched over and cramped. And she's standing up straight and she's got full lungs. And wow, what a change. We moved into our house back in 07 and it was in pretty good shape. We didn't have to do very much to fix it up. And that was good because you know when you buy a house, a lot of times once you've gone and signed all those papers, you feel like not only did we give everything we had, we gave beyond what we had, beyond what we should have. And so we were grateful that things were in pretty good shape. It was ready to go. But there was one thing in that house that wasn't quite right. And it wasn't so bad that you just knew immediately you had to fix it, but it wasn't good. I mean, the kitchen was very nice. Someone had done the kitchen up fancy, fancier than we ever would have. We got these granite countertops, that kind of thing. And this nice, deep, black sink, I mean, real deep, fine sink. And the faucet was the one part in the house that wasn't quite right, the kitchen faucet. You had to wrestle with that sucker to move it from one side to the other. Now, you could most days. I mean, if you gave it the old shove, you could get it to move between. But there were some days when you were just going to deal with one side of the sink because the faucet just wouldn't move. And I tried with my very limited skills to figure out what was making it stick, and I couldn't figure it out, and it wasn't worth calling a plumber for. And so we just lived with it, and then it became part of the scenery. You know how that happens. You just get used to things in your living space. But one day, a couple of years ago, I got to thinking, you know, twice now when we've sold a house and we've talked about how to get it ready to sell, we've come up with these list of things that ought to be better, that have to be better, actually, if we're going to sell the house. And so we fix them just some weeks before we move out. Now, how stupid is that? We live with these things for months and years, and then when we're about to move out, so I'm thinking, here my wife is, this wonderful cook, and she works hard at that sink, and she's having to wrestle with the blasted faucet, and, you know, when I do the dishes, it's the same with me, and why are we doing this? So I went to Home Depot. Christmas was coming. And I thought, this is a good opportunity to buy a faucet. So I buy this box. It's about this high, and the darn thing weighed a ton, which made it all the more fun, because when I brought the gift and set it on Sarah's lap, she had no clue what it was. It was just so much fun. This little box, but my goodness, it was about to crush her legs. And so that was fun. And then I called my buddy Walt Hitchcock. Walt can fix anything, anything, anything Walt can fix. And so somehow he knew how to get up under the sink and get the old one off and the new one on. And now we have a faucet that works like it should. Now that sounds so simple. But what a gift. You know, it's really kind of amazing the sorts of things we get used to as normal. We put up with more garbage in our lives because we don't see how it can be different. Even things like being stooped over for 18 years. Most of the time we don't see another option. And after a while, in whatever way it is that we're stooped over, it becomes normal for us. And so we're not looking up, we're looking down. Our vision is limited. Our life is cramped by whatever it is that has us doubled over until Jesus shows up. And he has an eye for what's bending us over. And the contortions of life that have become normal for us are never normal for him. And so all these years that we've gone on with some malady or some depression or some demonic oppression working its way in our lives or some sort of compulsive, sinful pattern that keeps defeating us and bending us over, and it's become normal for us, it's not normal for him. And he sees it. And he knows it can be different. Many of you know that I've been away up in Pennsylvania for the last 3 weeks at Global Summer Intensive, it's called. And a lot of you have been praying for me. I greatly, greatly appreciate that. Global Summer Intensive is part of a larger ministry called Global Awakening. It was founded by Randy Clark. You can see the little ad in your worship guide about him coming here the third weekend of August. Mark that on your calendar. I guarantee you Jesus is going to show up. Because Randy's been used by the Lord in some pretty extraordinary ways around the globe to welcome a fresh outpouring of the Spirit. People are healed, lives are in change, people are lifted in their capacity to minister in the power of the Spirit. And extraordinary kinds of healings happen and prophecy, and people are delivered from demonic oppressions, the kinds of things we read about in the New Testament and would really like to see happening in our lives. Well, it's happening. Jesus shows up. Some of you were here last October when I returned from a conference up there and reported to you the powerful way that the Lord had touched me. He showed up and I came home different than I had been before. And there was something about that touch of Jesus. There's nothing else quite like it that I know of, that at the one and the same time, it is the most satisfying thing possible and the thing that you then want more than anything else. So at one and the same time, it meets your needs and it makes you want more. And it's okay. It's not crazy. It's the touch of Jesus. And that's why when I saw these 3 weeks, the possibility of going there and being there for a more extended time and being exposed to more of this, I signed up some months ago and was grateful to have the opportunity to go and do that, and just every day to be exposed to this and strengthened in these ways of ministering and being. Now, I want to share with you about just one story about that 3 weeks, and it actually happened on the first day I was there. The teaching that day was nothing you don't already know. Those of you who've been in the church any time at all have heard already these kinds of teachings about who we are in Christ and how we're loved and how our identity is secured in Him. Very basic gospel sorts of things. I've taught these things, understand these things in my head. But that was taught through the morning and the afternoon, and as we close the afternoon teaching time, they're ready to go into ministry time, Jesus walked in. And He started dealing with me about some of those very issues and how they had played out in my heart and how I had been bent over in so many ways for so many years that I'd gotten used to a really contorted way of living with my own identity. A lot of self-doubt, even self-scorn. I don't need to go into the details about that, but suffice to say, this has been a struggling part of my being since forever. It's just, it had become normal for me to be bent over in this way and looking down in that portion of my being, not free to be upright and looking to the sky. I was used to it, but apparently Jesus is not. And so, after the teaching that afternoon, as ministry time began, the Spirit was falling upon a bunch of us, including me. Our leader, Ben Williams, for that afternoon started going around the room, and as the musicians sang, he would lay hands on people and prophesy some and call the Holy Spirit to come and do whatever it was he needed to do. And by the time he got around to me, the Spirit was already at work. I could feel the weight of His presence. There was this physical sensation of the heaviness of God's presence, and my head was just burning. I didn't get to see my own head, but I'm guessing my old bald head was bright red. I don't know. I know it was sweating. Even though it was freezing cold in that room, my head was on fire. And when He laid His hands on me, I just fell out on the floor, and this great peace descended upon me. And I think the Lord was doing some surgery in my head, in my heart. And I think I don't fully understand what was going on. I just know I'm standing up much straighter now in an area of my life where I'd been bent over since forever. So, thank you. You're very kind. There were others there. I mean, God was doing a lot of things with a lot of folks, physical healings, emotional healings. And a lot of them had been living bent over for a long time, like I had been, till Jesus showed up. Now, here's the deal. The things we get used to, the broken and bent things in our lives, Jesus never gets used to. And He will show up at the time He knows is right to deal with something in your life. And you may have discovered this already, that the Lord is very gracious. It's not like He comes and does everything at once, but it's as if He has the perfect time to deal with some particular part of our lives. And He knows that the day is right. And so over the course of time, He deals with one thing and then another and then another. And it's not like all the issues in my heart are suddenly healed now. I think there's more to come. And He's dealt with me on other sins and contortions in my life in times past. But He knew that day that this was the right time to deal with this heart condition of my own that had me bent over. And I'm kind of enjoying standing up straight. Yeah. So, this looks to me like a pretty normal Sabbath day at St. Giles. Things have happened according to ordinary pattern, haven't they? And Jesus has already shown up. Did you notice when He came in the room? I guarantee you He noticed you. He's had His eye on you since He walked in. And He sees some particular ways that you're bent over. He sees a marriage that's been over double and has been for a long time, so much so that you've gotten used to it. He's not used to it. And He will not hesitate to call you forward and straighten you up. It may be a physical malady, heart trouble, an ulcer, arthritis that you've just been living with. Maybe some sinful pattern in your life that you really would like to be rid of and at the same time not quite sure you would really like to be rid of. It may be an addiction. It may be anxiety. It may be resentment. It may be some sort of simmering rage. A lot of things bend us over, sometimes for years. And sometimes those things that bend us over get wrapped around with demonic empowerment, however it is that that happens. I mean, it's sort of a chicken and an egg sort of thing, that these maladies in our lives bend us over and demonic powers keep us trapped in some manner. Well, with the woman that day, that didn't even slow Jesus down. He is Lord over all dark powers in this world and in our lives. And I think that's actually part of what happened with me. The Lord was dealing with some identity issues in my heart, and I think these sinful and broken patterns in my life had somehow become an entry point for some sort of demonic oppression in that area of my life. It had some marks of that. So I think part of my healing was just deliverance from the grip of those demonic powers upon me. And now the Lord's continues. He continues to rearrange my thoughts. You know, when you operate in a certain way, you develop neural pathways, literally. I mean, you develop patterns of thinking that are physical as well as spiritual and mental. And I think the Lord's continuing to do that. I don't know how to interpret this, but I'm crying all the time now about joyful things and sad things. I mean, I'm wearing out my handkerchiefs continually during worship and prayer, and I have no clue what the Lord's doing. I just know that it's good. He's doing something. And I'm ready for Him to keep it up. So, how's that for you today? When Jesus walked in and He saw you, what did He see? What part of your life has been over? What's become normal for you that's not normal for Him? He's calling you forward. He's ready to touch. Now let's pray. we say that you're Savior, and we define that pretty narrowly. But as it turns out, Jesus, you define it very broadly, and then you take it deeply. You save us. You save us from every manner of brokenness and sin and disease and oppression. And you work that out into the full extent of our being. We're most grateful. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And we would welcome you to work in the ways of your choosing this day. We honor you. We celebrate your goodness. We yield to you. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.